This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Today, we are looking at meditation. And this is the final series which we're in prayer. We have been looking at The Owl That Changes the World by Dick Eastman. And these are the last three parts of it. So the devotional hour is greatly strengthened when the believer takes time to ponder a spiritual theme in reference to God. This act of spiritual evaluation, called meditation, helps the believer discover how to apply all the truths God has revealed during prayer. A century ago, the wife of a Presbyterian minister, Bridget Herman, wrote this meaningful description of meditation. Meditation is a spiritual act as definite and purposeful as a business engagement, a pledge of friendship, or a solemn undertaking. In it, we apply spiritual facts and principles to ourselves as individuals and as citizens of the kingdom of God. Having pondered them, we seek to appropriate their value by an outgoing of our loving desires towards God and by exercising our will in the formation of resolutions. No meditation is really valid unless it leaves us with something to which we can return during the day's business and find it helpful there. So the gift of attention. And while studying scores of books on prayer, Dick Eastman found that he was greatly disappointed to discover that almost as little is said about meditation as singing, although both aspects are thoroughly scriptural. The Old Testament definition for the word meditation is to mutter or to muse, and this suggests a silent inner study of some spiritual matter. This is the essence of the meaning to meditate in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And here the Hebrew word for meditate is haggah, means to mutter upon. Another Hebrew expression translated meditate is sika, which means to bow down. And the psalmist uses this word when declaring, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto your ways. It's found in Psalm 119, verse 15. The thought is that we render special mental attention by bowing down in respect of God's word. In the New Testament, meditation is emphasized in Paul's writings to Timothy. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. And in 1 Timothy 4:15, in this verse, the Greek word for meditate means to be careful or to show care in a matter. And this suggests meditation is more than merely thinking good thoughts. It is the giving of attention to how we might specifically apply these ponderings after the devotional hour has ended. So what is the value of meditation? Well, scriptural meditation provides a believer with spiritual benefits received through no other means. Personal inner peace is but one of these benefits. The Bible promises, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Isaiah 26:3. Enlarging in this verse, Blaitlock explains, here the Hebrew is actually saying peace, peace, thus making up for its deficiency in adjectives by the repetition of the noun. It might well have been translated literally in peace, in peace. Throughout Scripture, frequent attention is given to this matter of meditation. And how precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awaken, I am still with you. The interior of prayer. For instance, Bridges Herman fully explains, the difference between the saints of old and ourselves is not one of inherent nature. It is simply that they took time to ponder God, to gaze upon him in an act of supreme attention in which intelligence, will and desire concurred in perfect harmony, while we are too greatly overrun with small activities and occupations to find leisure for such pondering. And the author also advises to come to our own case. Behind all true Christian service, service that is springing from a sense of divine vocation and sustained by a supernatural motive, lies the interior life of prayer. And if that prayer life, and therefore the service that springs from it, is feeble and ineffective, it is largely because it lacks the background of genuine, honest thinking. Scripture provides a believer with a meaningful list of practical themes upon which to focus our meditation. And like other suggestions shared in the chapters that we've been looking at over the last 3 months, it is not necessary to implement all of these types of meditation during every devotional hour. However, the list is practical because it is scriptural. For a well-balanced devotional hour, select at least one aspect each day as a focus for your meditation. Now we need to focus on God himself. And speaking of meditation, the psalmist declared, "My soul shall wait upon God, for my expectation is from him." And earlier it was suggested that the believer take time to wait in prayer for the purpose of focusing love entirely upon God. And now we return in prayer to enlarge that focus. At first glance, it may appear that waiting and meditation overlap in their functions. However, waiting is an act of loving, while meditation is an act of thinking. And during this particular type of meditation, ponder the nature of God with full intensity. Carefully probe everything you know about your Heavenly Father, constantly asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate and stretch your thinking. In the course of this type of meditation, you will often find yourself asking many questions. What do I really believe about God? What does the Bible say about God that touches my life? How would I define my concept of God? And what great attributes of God can I better appropriate in my daily life? And as you answer these and other questions about God, your understanding of his nature and purpose increases dramatically, as does your confidence in his word. Focus on God's word. The second focus of meditation on God's word is reading, for instance, the Psalms or some other verses within the Bible. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's found in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Because meditation is a mental evaluation of any spiritual theme, the Bible becomes a tremendous source for meditation. Scripture is filled with thousands of brief phrases that inspire enormous power. Although nearly 30,000 promises await us in the Bible, each promise is a focus for meditation. And F.W. Faber expressed that one common truth, seemingly tame and trivial to the beginner of meditation, will suffice a saint for hours of contemplation. And speaking of the power of God's word in meditation, Bridget Herman enlarges, the book has a voice of its own, a message and a power that remains untouched by the passage of time. And to listen to that voice and test that power for oneself is well worth all the labour and discipline involved. And we need to focus on God's works. The psalmist expressed, I will meditate also of all your work and talk of your things. And here is another form of meditation that proves limitless. Every created aspect of the universe can become a focal point for effective meditation. But always these ponderings must be in reference to God. We do not meditate on the beauty of a mountain stream simply because of the stream's beauty, but because of the stream's creator. An experience from the life of the 16th century monk Brother Lawrence illustrates. He told me, said an intimate friend, that in the winter, seeing a tree stripped of its leaves and considering that within a little time the leaves would be renewed and after that the flowers and fruit appear, he received a high view of the providence and power of God, which has never since been effaced from his soul. And this view had set him perfectly loose from the world and kindled in him such a love for God that he could not tell whether it had increased in above 40 years that he had lived since. And we need also to focus on past victories. Here is a seldom mentioned aspect of meditation that will provide an oasis of delight for your devotional hour. The psalmist said, I remember the days of old. In times of distress and discouragement, much spiritual relief can be found in looking at many blessings God has given us in previous days. Consider Jeremiah's difficult experiences as recorded in Lamentations. Indeed, the very word lamentation means brokenness, pain or grief. Of the five painful chapters in the book, perhaps the most distressing is chapter 3. And here the prophet speaks of God pulling him in pieces and of all his bones being broken. A particularly graphic verse reads, He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. But notice the pause in the narrative that transforms Jeremiah's desert experience into a garden of blessings. In the midst of his complaints, the prophet declares, This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Jeremiah discovered the secret of respective meditation. And this I recall the prophet wrote during his battle with depression. When he had reached the point of total defeat, he reflected on the past faithfulness of God. And because of this, Jeremiah was able to testify, "Great is your faithfulness." And the focus on positive thoughts. Finally, focus meditation on positive thoughts. Paul told his friends from Philippi, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Anything worthy of praise is worthy of meditation. For example, some are lovers of little children. They may see the glory of God in a baby's eyes. Let them begin their time of meditation by setting a small child, perhaps a child they love best, in the midst of their many thoughts. Any thought that meets the measure of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 may serve as a focus for meditation. Even a distraction during prayer may serve as fuel to ignite the flames of meaningful meditation. If during your time of spiritual evaluation a distressing thought repeatedly buffets the mind, make that thought a special point for meditation. With God's help, walk through the problem step by step until a solution is discovered, and soon meditation will become a practical way to visualize new avenues for sound spiritual growth. Lord, teach me to meditate. The second thing that we will be looking at today is the act of mental absorption. Prayer is a soul's pilgrimage from self to God, and the most effectual remedy for self-love and self-absorption is the habit of humble listening. These words, written over a century ago, bring us to that element of prayer called listening. So the universe of silence. Best friends are always good listeners. If we truly desire to be friends with the Lord, we must learn the secret of listening. Not only did Jesus say he would enter the open door of a person's heart, but he promised to sup with that person as well. This is found in Revelation 3:20. To sup means to have fellowship, and much of our praying consists of asking instead of supping. Prayer often becomes one-sided and self-centered. Our prayer should be a conversation, one in which we listen as much as we speak. Rosalind Rinker advises, instead of each of us making a prayer speech to him, let's talk things over with him, back and forth, including him in it, as we do when we have a conversation. In a certain sense, listening is an actual ministry. Jesus ministered through listening. As Hope McDonald explains in Discovering How to Pray, Jesus listened to the cry of the blind man in the crowded, noisy street. He listened to the story of Mary when she came uninvited to a dinner party. He listened to the plea of the lepers when no one else would go near them. And Jesus also listened to Nicodemus, who came to talk to him late one night. Our Lord even listened to the thief hanging next to him when he was dying on the cross. To be like Jesus is to be a listener, especially in prayer. The desire of Jesus was to do the will of his Father, to find his Father's will, and Jesus spent whole nights listening. We too must follow the example of Jesus and learn the art of listening in God's university of silence. And Paul told the Thessalonians, study to be quiet. And Miller explains, quietness in a man or a woman is a mark of strength. Noise is not eloquence. Loudness is not power. in all the departments of life, it is the quiet forces that affect most. Therefore, if we would be strong, we must learn to be quiet. A quiet heart will give a quiet life. The gift of listening. To quiet our hearts for the specific purpose of receiving the day's guidance is an act of both dependence and faith. Listening implies confidence that God truly desires to speak to us. It also serves to move our devotional habit still further from an emphasis on self. And Alan Redpath confesses, "Sometimes I wonder if our devotions are not the greatest barrier to spiritual growth, because they are so often just one-sided. It is our praying. It is our talking, our Bible study, our effort. How long is it since you sat down with great delight in his presence and were conscious that he was flooding your heart and speaking with you? Only as we learn to hear the voice of the Father can we learn to dispel the voices of the world. As David Hubbard shares, we are besieged by words in our society. Billboards blaze them into our minds as we go by, and headlines scream from the newspapers. The internet is an avalanche of words, but regular praying builds into our lives those experiences of silence and concentration when the still small voice of our Saviour can cut through life's how and speak his words of peace and joy. Of necessity, much of the prayer must take place in silence because much of prayer concerns a believer seeking divine guidance. Not only will God reveal how to pray effectively if we will listen, but he will reveal how to live effectively. Donald DeMarie refers to this listening aspect of prayer as the law of the inner motive. He explains, individual guidance from God received in prayer is of vital importance. You now listen to your own voice pressing you to do the selfish things, but it is the voice of God, the inner voice, we must learn to hear. And the regular quiet time is a laboratory for developing that capacity to hear. In the course of the busy day too, we will hear his voice, but it is the stillness of the prayer closet that the gift of listening is given and received. Next time, we will be looking finally at praise. Just as we started off with praise, so we will end with praise. And we will finish off our topic on prayer next month. Thank you very much. Goodbye.